My friends, I'm going to begin this homily with a bit of a risk. Normally, at a homily, at the end of the homily, I will tell you to do something. It is the go forth moment. But I'm going to start with that today. My friends, we celebrate today the Feast of Divine Mercy, that God comes down to us and shares His mercy and especially His forgiveness with us. Now, my friends, I want each of us to think about our lives and to wonder and dwell on the fact, perhaps the reality, that some of us, perhaps all of us, need to forgive someone in our lives. There is someone to whom we still have not yet forgiven. Do you have someone like that? I want you to think about this for a moment. Close your eyes and think about it. Who in your life do you need to forgive? Someone who has perhaps hurt you, perhaps wounded you in a way they might not even know it. And yet, we need to forgive them. I was just at a wedding yesterday with a lot of childhood friends, and I saw someone that I said, I'm not sure if I've ever really forgiven that person. And that person has no idea of how they hurt me. My friends, I want you to take that person in your mind's eye and hold them close to your heart as I continue my homily, okay? Hold that person right here in your heart. My friends, we celebrate divine mercy. And the Feast of Divine Mercy has its origin last century when a religious sister, Sister Faustina in Poland, received an apparition or an appearance of our Lord, where He appeared to her as the image we have in our sanctuary today and shared with her His divine mercy, this message of divine mercy. And what is divine mercy? It is the love of God poured out to us, that God would come down and lift us out of our misery, out of our woundedness, and forgive us and love us. And there's three primary things that Jesus wanted us to do with divine mercy. The first is to ask and receive it. The second is to trust in that divine mercy. And the third is to give it out to others. As we have been gifted with mercy, as we have been forgiven, we must share that forgiveness and mercy with others. But we can say, Father Michael, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful message of our Lord, but what does it look like? What does divine mercy look like? This is a very special gift from God, and sometimes we can have a hard time understanding it. Well, there's a wonderful image, wonderful story about divine mercy that, again, happened last century, actually a couple years after Jesus appeared to St. Faustina. There was a man born at the turn of the century. His name is Rudolf Hess. He was baptized a Catholic, but for some various, who knows, reason, he entered the Nazi party in Germany and started to excel in the SS program, the officers of the Nazi party, and he eventually became, when Hitler rose to power, the commandant in Auschwitz, the death camp. Rudolf Hess has had 2 million souls on his conscience. He was the commandant for Auschwitz through the entire war, and 2 million people died in that death camp. And one of the groups that was sentenced to death in that camp was a group of Jesuit priests, a whole community. But surprisingly enough, the superior of that community escaped. He wasn't captured. But because this superior wanted to be with his sons and brothers, he actually snuck into Auschwitz to minister to them, to bring them the sacraments. But in his efforts to minister to his brothers, he was captured and taken into Rudolf Hess's office. My friends, we don't know what transpired there. We don't know. But surprisingly, and this is a shocking moment of history, Rudolf Hess lets this superior go, releases him for some reason. And the war draws to a close, and Rudolf Hess is captured after the Germans are defeated, and he is put on trial for crimes against humanity and sentenced to death. Now, Rudolf Hess was not scared to die. He was not scared. He was not scared at all, but he was mortally terrified to be treated the way he treated others in his death camp. But something amazing happened. He was treated with mercy. He was treated with kindness by the prison guards, by those who convicted him. And that grace of baptism, his grace of baptism, started to do its work. And that kindness started to transform his heart. And he started to have a conversion. And he wanted a priest to come hear his confession before his death. So the call was sent out to the priests in the local area, the priests in the country of Germany. And so many priests said no. They would not hear his confession. They refused to do it. And we can understand this. These were men who had lost family members, lost brother priests, lost their loved ones in Auschwitz at the hands of this man. But they refused. But one priest said yes. It was the superior of that Jesuit order, whose entire community had been executed by this commandant, by Rudolf Hess. He volunteered and said, I will hear his confession. And so, as the story goes, he walked into the man's cell, and the confession took several hours. We don't know what happened. Confessions are always private in that seal of confession. But several hours later, tears running down his face, Rudolf Hess is a new man. The next day, the superior comes back with the Holy Eucharist, and Rudolf Hess, for the first time in decades, receives the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next day, he is put to death. He is executed. This is divine mercy in action. This is an incredible experience of divine mercy, that the worst of the worst can be saved. My friends, I want to challenge us this morning. I want to take us a little further. Rudolf Hess, this commandant of Auschwitz, who had 2 million souls on his conscience, is probably right now in heaven. Who knows how long he was in purgatory, that time when we need to get purified before entering the presence of God. Who knows? But he is most likely in heaven. But let's reflect on this. Perhaps those priests who said no to him, who refused to hear his confession, may not be, unless they confessed their unwillingness to hear his confession, to forgive him. Now, is that fair? Is that fair? Absolutely not. In our human calculations, the fact that this man, Rudolf Hess, would be forgiven and entered into heaven, and that these men, these good men, probably men who would have inspired us, would have given us the sacraments, would have brought us our Lord in the Eucharist, would have forgiven our sins, perhaps they might not be there. Is this fair? No. But in the logic of divine mercy, the Lord calls each of us to forgive one another from our hearts because He is the one who did it first. The logic and reality of divine mercy is this: go and do likewise. We recall the parable of the master and servant. The master calls in this servant who owes him a huge debt. And the scriptures tells us that the debt was like the size of a pile of gold, a huge pile of gold. And the man kneels down in front of his master and says, Master, I have a wife and children. Give me time and I can pay you back. And extraordinarily, the master says, not only am I going to give you time, I'm actually going to forgive you the entire debt. You don't owe it to me anymore. And he lets the man go. But that servant goes right off to another servant who owes him, as the scripture says, like a stack of pennies. Grabs him by the collar and says, pay back what you owe. And that second servant repeats back the words, I have a wife and children, give me time and I will pay you back the debt in full. And the servant says, no, I refuse. Throws him into prison and says, pay back what you owe to me, that stack of pennies. The master sees this and says, you wicked servant, I forgave you or your entire debt. Should you not have forgiven their fellow servant from your heart? Jesus concludes this parable of mercy, by saying, as the Father has forgiven you, as I, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, have forgiven you, have forgiven me, have forgiven everyone, so are we to forgive others from our heart. Go and do likewise. My friends, we pray at every Mass the Our Father, the one prayer that Jesus gave us. And we have a line in there that should be challenging to us every time we pray it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is an if-then statement. We will not receive forgiveness unless we can forgive from our hearts. So let's return to the action I asked you to do right at the beginning. We all have someone in our lives who we need to forgive. All of us, most likely. We need to give over that person to God. To say to God, I forgive this person from my heart. What will we receive in return, my brothers and sisters? We will receive peace. Twice in our gospel today, Jesus comes into his disciples and says, peace be with you. This is a peace the world cannot give. And we can only forgive, or we can only receive it, if we have forgiven from our hearts. We can receive that peace and also freedom. Freedom to go and love in the world. Freedom to be the people God has called us to be. If we but forgive. This is the message of divine mercy. That the Lord would pour out his love to us. And in return, we give that love to others. Now, my friends, you're probably thinking, Father Michael, this is hard. This is really hard. And it is. And that's why we take that first step of divine mercy to heart. We must ask for divine mercy for ourselves. To forgive is a grace we must ask for. My friends, as you hold this person in your heart, in this Mass, I pray that each of us would surrender that person, would forgive that person from our heart. Ask for the grace to do it. Ask for the grace. It will be given you. And if we can forgive others from our hearts, then we can receive the peace that comes from our Lord, the freedom that comes from our Lord, and know that we can be ushered off to the eternal kingdom and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Come share your master's joy.